think, like a lot of people, I got most of my early information about Christmas from my school nativity play, that wonderful morning at the end of term when maths was replaced with the theatre. I had a few roles in the nativity play. Age 8, I was a sheep. Age 9, I was also a sheep. Age 16, I made a return appearance as a camel. One time they even let me play a human being, and for a wonderful and unique 20 minutes, people referred to me as a wise man. And I loved nativity plays. You had misty-eyed mums looking on adoringly, you had rosy-cheeked seven-year-olds forgetting their lines. And I still love them today, but there's something about them that worries me. They're traditional, yes, they're adorable, yes. I worry they may be a little bit dangerous. Because I think there's always a danger that nativity plays make us think that Jesus has nothing to do with adult life. Something lovely for the children, a nice bit of nostalgia maybe. But now we've lived a little bit, we've faced adult joys and maybe some very grown-up pain. We think that Jesus has nothing to give to us, apart from maybe, a warm glow of nostalgia at Christmas time. But when we get to January, he's got nothing to offer. When we get to February, when life hurts, what does Jesus have to say to us then? There's just one thing I want to say tonight, and it's this. That God, through Jesus, is offering you a free gift. A free gift that is essential, a free gift that is wonderful, and a free gift that could change every part of your life if you allow it to. And we find out what that free gift is in that last reading that Chris brought for us. Let me just read one verse again. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When it says the Word, it's talking about God. The God who made the universe and the God who made you. And it says this God took on human flesh. He took on human feet and walked through the world he'd made. And he took on a human name. People called him Jesus. And he comes into this world and he comes into our lives holding out this gift. And the verse tells us what it is. It says he came into the world full of grace and truth. That's the gift he has for us this Christmas. Grace and truth. Grace is a hard word to define. It's a bit like mercy, but mercy multiplied by a million. It's a bit like forgiveness on steroids. It's when God treats us totally differently from how we deserve. It's when he loves us, even when we ignore him and hurt him. And our verse says God is full of this grace. It's like a jug full to the brim with the stuff, wanting to pour grace into all of our lives. Jesus comes into the world full of grace, but also full of truth. And that doesn't just mean that he didn't tell any lies, although he didn't. It's a reference to an earlier bit of the Bible, where it describes God as being true love, faithful love, reliable love. When it says Jesus is full of love, it tells us he has in him a love that will never end. A love that will stick with you even in dark times. And I realise for many of us, Christmas can be quite a dark time indeed. Love, it will not betray you, dismay or enslave you. That's what one band sang. And I don't know if they were talking about God's love when they sang that, but if they weren't, they should have been. Because there's no love as good as his. No love that goes on as long as he does. That's the gift God is offering to you this Christmas. Grace and truth. Forgiveness and faithfulness. A true love that will always stay with you. And if you only think about one thing this Christmas, I'd suggest think about that. That offer that God has for you. But I guess when we hear that, there's a few different reactions we might have. And I just want very briefly to think through three of them. Three things we might say to God's offer. You might say, God, just a fairy tale. But But here's the claim of the Bible. As we've been hearing, the Bible claims that God came to earth in history, not in Never Never Land. And I'd suggest, why don't you look into one of those eyewitnesses who saw Jesus, who wrote about it in the Bible? These were down-to-earth people, rational people. Find out what it was that convinced them, finally convinced them, that Jesus was God. We're not talking about a fairy tale God here, we're talking about a real God. And this God offers grace and truth. You might respond differently. You might say, well, I'm not sure I need grace. You know, I'm not perfect, but I'm not sure I need forgiving. I'm okay, I'm pretty good. I saw a sign in town the other day that said, "Dear Santa, define good." When I first saw it, I thought it was one of the more philosophical Christmas decorations I'd come across. But I think actually what it was saying was, okay, Santa, how good do I need to get gifts from you? There's a much more important question we could ask. Dear God, define good. How good do we have to be for God to accept us? Well, God defines good like this. He says to be good is to love God with everything you've got and to love other people as much as you love yourself. To love people, not just in what you do, but also in what you say, in what you think. And that's tough. Put it this way, I would not want you to see everything that goes through my head. Some things I wouldn't mind you seeing, but a lot of the things I would not want you to see. There's some quite dark corners in there. Bitterness, jealousy. An awful lot of the time you just find me thinking about myself. I wouldn't want to reveal that to you. And I would respectfully suggest that maybe you wouldn't want to reveal all your thoughts to me either. Apparently a prankster once sent an anonymous message to 12 respectable people in London. He didn't know anything about them or their personal lives, but for a laugh he wrote, "Get out now, all is revealed." Allegedly, before sun rose the next day, 6 of them had left the country. Now, I'm pretty sure that's just a story, but this is real. God can see everything. God knows the times when we don't love other people. And God knows the times when we don't love him. And that is serious, isn't it? To live in God's world, but to ignore him and not to love him is a serious thing. I think, being honest, we all need forgiving. But the wonderful news of Christmas is that God offers that forgiveness. God offers grace and truth. So there are 2 responses we might have, but maybe just one more before we close. You might respond to God's offer by saying, well, yeah, there probably is a God, but I don't see what he's got to do with my life. I'd say, look at what God did so you could have a relationship with him. God left heaven. He came to earth as Jesus. He was born so poor, they put him in an animal trough. And he died butchered like an animal and nailed to a wooden cross. And the Bible says there was no other way in which we could have a relationship with God. We can talk later about why that is. But there was nothing else that would bring us to God apart from Jesus living and dying. And you might not think it's important to have God in your life, but God thinks it is. He thinks it's incredibly important. And at the deepest possible cost, out of sheer love, he offers you grace and truth, a true relationship with him. That's the gift he offers you this Christmas. And God says to us all now, will you accept it? Will you say sorry for all the times you've ignored him? He will forgive you. Will you start a relationship with him? He will accept you. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. I said there were 3 maybe responses, but maybe that's a 4th. To say yes to the offer from the baby in the manger. To say, yes, I do need that grace. Yes, I do want that relationship, that truth, that unfailing love God offers. Please don't put that offer away with the Christmas decorations. please think about it. Think what it could mean for you. There's some ways to do that. I've got some of these. They're little eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life from the Bible. I've got a table of them at the back. Please take one. Nice early Christmas present from me to you. We're starting a group in January called Explore, which is a chance to think through some of these claims and this offer that Jesus makes. If you look on your chairs, somewhere in arm's reach, there should be a little flyer which invites you to that. Why not come along? But maybe for some of you, you're ready to respond to God's offer yourself. And I'd encourage you, make this a Christmas when you do that. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to celebrate? To come into a relationship with the God who made you and loves you. This Christmas, that baby in the manger is offering you grace and truth. He's not any baby, he's the God who made you, and he offers you grace and that most true, most wonderful relationship. I'm going to leave a short time of quiet to reflect. Why don't you think what that could mean for you? And then in a few seconds' time, I'm going to pray. Dear God, we thank you for your grace and for your truth, that faithful love that we see so clearly in Jesus Christ. Thank you he came to earth to show us that you're there. Thank you that he came to earth to show us that you love us. Help us to respond rightly to him this Christmas. Amen.